I hit record. Sound test me. Say something winterish. Say something cold and breezy. Oh, that's a good one. Something like that. I forgot who's going to do an intro.
Your turn.
My turn, I did last. Okay. The future lies before you like a field of fallen snow. Be careful how you tread it, for every step will show. If winter has the courage to turn into spring, who says it can't bloom just the same? Who says you can't bloom just the same? In depth of winter, I finally learned that there was in me an invincible summer. Summer without you is as cold as winter, Joe. Without you is even... Winter without you, Joe, is even colder. JBC. A snowflake is one of God's most fragile creations, but look what they can do when they stick together. I'm reading shitty winter poems, because this is all about the winter.
Welcome to the winter of our souls.
Who said that? What's winter of our souls? Who said that?
Winter. I just did.
Yeah, but
certainly didn't make that up. I don't know.
Isn't it like from a thing? Let's see, it says, Winter of Our Souls. Oh, it's by a band called Demons and Wizards. Awesome. Okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Nice.
Well, everything that I say is not something that I thought. It's something that I've remembered, I think.
When is it no longer winter here in the United States? What day?
That, I think, should be the first question, because it is, we're recording this evening on March 20th.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I had that in my head as the first day of spring. Maybe it's the last day of winter. That would be,
yeah.
That would be even better.
I'm trying to Google it, but I keep getting hits for some goddamn car called the Equinox. And then I Googled Sprung Equinox, which is not. Let's see. Okay, I'm looking it up.
Is today the last day of Sprung?
Apparently, today's the first day of Sprung. We missed it.
It is. We okay, listener, we've had the idea, I don't know if it's a good idea for a show. If not, I blame you, Jason, because it was your idea.
It's my idea.
But yeah, we've been wanting to do this show for probably a month, and we waited until the first day of spring.
Yeah.
So welcome to spring, everybody.
Well, okay, so that's fine, because we've done episodes about things that we weren't currently involved in. We're just going to talk about... We're no longer under the grip of winter, Joe, so now we can finally talk about how much we hate it. I hate winter. What about you? I hate it. Do you hate it? I hate it.
Yeah, I don't really appreciate it. I'm tired of being cold. And I'd rather just be warm.
Yeah.
I understand that, you know, if you deprive yourself of certain comforts, then you're able to then appreciate those comforts, but I'd rather just not be cold.
I'll deprive
myself of other things,
Yeah. If I never saw below 55 degrees for the rest of my life, that would be fine with me. I think if it was like never below 70, I'd miss it, because sometimes in the 50s is, you know, nice. You feel alive and you go for a run and it's good, but it gets down low. And here in Seattle, Texas, it's kind of funny because, like, 3 days ago, the high was 42. And the next day, the high was 72. And it was just like, winter said, fuck it, I give up. You win. Go. And spring was like, seriously? Winter's like, yeah, it's yours. I just go. Have it.
I kind of thought the same thing was happening in Davenport, where, like, it was cold. We're kind of enjoying, you know, sitting next to the fire, and then I was like, okay, I'm over the fire. I'm tired of being cold. And then it did warm up for a minute. Guess what? Today, it's cold again.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm out in my quote-unquote studio. I'm staring at my water heater, wishing that it was heating me, because there's no other heater in here.
Really?
And it's cold. I'm wearing a big coat. And when I said, fucking cold in here at the beginning, I wasn't kidding.
Dude, it's currently. I looked up the weather in Davenport. It's 58 degrees. That's cold. I guess that's cold to you because normally it's like warmer. For us, 58 would be like, oh, thank God.
58 is good for you? Yeah. Well, 58. Look, whatever's going on in my fucking garage, it's freezing.
Okay. Well, I guess you're not in... Maybe you're not in, like... I should look up your exact address. Maybe where you're at, there's, like, a low-pressure system or something. I don't, is it cloudy where you are?
It is. It is cloudy. It's, it was raining earlier today.
Oh, okay.
And the rain was cold.
Okay. I think we can get even more boring than talking about the weather. Let's try.
That's all I got, man.
No. I brought it up. Weather. It's not your fault. Not your fault. I hate the winter so much, I actually wrote... I wrote a screed. A screed? I don't know what you call this. I wrote a thing. Okay, back when we said, let's do a winter episode, you sent me a text saying, hey, can you do the intro? Can you write a winter intro? I was like, yeah, I can do that. So I wrote one, and then we didn't do the winter episode for a month. So I have it. I'm going to read it. And it was what the intro was going to be, but I didn't do it because I forgot. Now I have it, but I have it, so I'm going to read it. Can I read it?
Yes, I knew that you wrote something for this show, and that's one of the reasons why I was excited to do this show.
Oh, that's nice.
So maybe you're the only hope.
I'm the only hope. Okay, I have other things to talk about that are winter related, so don't worry about that. I'm going to get started here.
Okay.
My skin starts to freeze this many degrees below 0 Celsius or Fahrenheit. No fire in sight. With the night growing colder and the tundra wolves bolder, stalking the shivering park to turn me into a carcass, and I try to act macho, but I'll be their cold soup gazpacho. Or as the temperature drops lower and the wind blows till I'm so froze, my toes are a distant memory, my nose like the sphinxes in spite of me, and now these wolves closing in don't care about the wind. Jesus, hear my prayer, make me be too cold to even taste, or even better, send me Liam Neeson to punch them in the face.
Nice.
Yeah, that's what I wrote. Whoops. I forgot to turn the wind off.
Beautiful. Yeah, I love your writing.
It was pretty much... Thank you. That's nice. It was pretty much... You said write an intro. I was like, Liam Neeson. Even though apparently now we're supposed to hate him, I guess. We're not supposed to like Liam Neeson.
Oh, that's a shame. You know, can I just ignore that?
Well, so I'm not trying to defend the guy... Well, maybe I am. I don't know. I don't know all the context, but I guess in an interview, for those who don't know, listener, he said that someone he knew was sexually assaulted, and the person he knew did not know who did it, only that the person who did it was black. So Liam Neeson, and he was younger at this time, went to a neighborhood where he knew there were a lot of black people, and he was just hoping to find one so he could beat somebody up. And that's it. And it's a very racist thing. And when I saw the interview,
that
is
fucking terrible.
It's fucking terrible.
I didn't hear the story. I just knew that he messed up like a lot of other people. And I was avoiding hearing the story, but here it is. And
I heard that.
Damn it.
Well, I think, and people can write in and tell me I'm wrong, but I think one, he never found anybody to do that to. And he was glad in retrospect because he feels and felt very ashamed of that. And I think it's big of him to like, you know, admit that and say, hey, I did something that I feel very bad about, but at the time I was very much enraged. And I don't know, I could be wrong. Maybe I misread the interview or there's more to it I didn't know, but it seems to me he's apologetic. So I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt for now, not because he's a white guy and not because he's Irish, but because, or whatever he is, Scottish. I don't know. I get him all confused, but because he punches wolves in the face. And I got to give him the benefit of the doubt until I hear better. And I'm willing to. If somebody said to me, hey, no, Liam Neeson said he was glad he wanted to do it and he would do it again, I'm like, fuck that guy. He can't punch no more wolves. Wolves can punch him in the face. My next poem was going about wolf punching Liam Neeson in the face. But until then, he's punching the wolves in the face.
Okay. So we can still watch The Gray?
Yeah, I guess so. Until
because that's my favorite wintery movie. Maybe one of them.
Yeah.
And that's good because Liam Neeson isn't one. He's not the only movie star or celebrity where I heard that there was some controversy, and I just put my head in the sand or in the snow. I put my head in the snow because it's a winter show. But like I feel like, well, and of course I watched the Michael Jackson documentary.
Oh, you did? I didn't.
And so there's no more Michael Jackson.
Yeah,
and that's fine. Fuck Michael Jackson.
Fuck that guy.
I mean, oh, man. Yeah, I don't want to hear his I don't want to hear his music anymore. But the thing is, I guess my fear is that maybe everybody, you know, is an asshole to some degree, not to the Michael Jackson degree or not to the Kevin Spacey degree, but eventually I won't have anyone left to entertain me because I'll find out that they're all dastardly fucks. And I just scares me. So last couple of celebrities where I knew something went wrong, I didn't want to hear it, so then I could continue to be entertained by them. That's okay. Pretty selfish.
No,
it's not,
I mean,
very
it's
progressive of me. It's just where I'm at, I guess.
This is where we are with all this celebrity and what do you call it? Just the whole knowing more than we ever knew before. We are in the winter of our discontent. Now, a couple of things. One, that's a novel by Steinbeck. Two, I never read it. Three, I'm not sure if I'm using it correctly. But four, I don't give a fuck. And five, there's probably some decent folks out there. I just watched Last Week Tonight with John Oliver for the most recent episode. And he did a whole episode on public shaming. And there's also a book that everyone should read by John Ronson. There's no H's in any of his names, John or Ronson. There's no H. It's J-O-N. R-O-N-S-O-N, John Ronson, British journalist, wrote a book called So You've Been Publicly Shamed. And they both have a very interesting perspective on how shame can ruin a person's life. For example, I'm going to reiterate what I learned on Last Week Tonight. Do you remember in the media the story about the aunt who sued her own nephew? Do you remember this?
That rings a bell.
Yeah.
Give me a refresher.
I guess her nephew jumped into her arms. He was very happy to see her and broke her wrist. So she sued him for $125,000 or $275,000 or some stupid amount, right? And, you know, she became known as the worst aunt ever. Now, I didn't know the full story, and so I thought she was the worst aunt ever. Learned on the Last Week Tonight that what it was her insurance would not cover all of the surgeries she needed or all the treatments, and the only way she could get money for those was from the homeowner's insurance of the parents of her nephew, right? Her sister or brother, whatever. But the only way she could get it from them, the process required that she sue, and she had to name someone in the lawsuit. And the parents went along with this. The nephew, he didn't care. He's getting, like, slushies and shit, so whatever. So it was all, like, emotionally above board, but that's not how the news reported it. And even after she went on the Today Show and explained all this, people still, while listening to that story, talked about how awful she was. Now, I'm not saying that Liam Neeson, I don't know the whole story, or whatever celebrity. Like you said, you heard about somebody and you said, I'm going to ignore it because you want to be there for, you still want to like him?
Yeah.
I think you can until you get the whole story. But if somebody came to you and said, don't make me watch The Gray because I think he's a terrible person. You can't force it on them either. You can force good shit on people if the person who did it isn't bad. Like you can make watch people watch Deadpool, right? Because Ryan Reynolds he's a good guy. I haven't heard anything bad about him. So you can make people watch Deadpool against their will. You could say, watch this movie, and they'll say, I don't want to. You say, fucking watch this movie, or I'll get Liam Neeson to punch you in the face.
Yeah.
So I think that's the gradient right there. It's like, okay, the celebrity's cool, force people to watch. Oh, or heard something bad, benefit of the doubt, but you don't have to watch, you don't want to. And then, oh, found out they are bad, and you're an asshole if you do watch, right? It's like Ryan Reynolds, Liam Neeson, Michael Jackson. That's the gradient right there.
Well, and I'm going to say, If you watch that Michael Jackson thing, the Leaving Neverland, it's not like they break down, you know, it's not like they convict Michael Jackson in a court of law. So, you know, I was enwrapped in the story they were telling, and I believe that story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not on a jury, and there's no conviction here. This isn't some, you know, really thorough process. I decided to believe that.
Sure.
And, you know, and I want to believe that in society, if there's something alleged against someone, that shouldn't be the end of everything.
Right.
I mean, you should be discerning. Society should be discerning,
right,
before it destroys somebody, because, you know, people make shit up and try to get money. And there are, there are accusations that are false, and you know, your example is pretty good where that's possible, where actually the way the media portrays something can be completely askew, and right. you don't know the whole thing, and then you end up forming some terrible opinion about somebody, and
right.
and it was all bullshit.
I think it might be okay from the perspective of, like, okay, so this aunt sued her nephew, and you decide, oh, she's an awful person, and you tell everybody you know on Facebook, but you don't know her for real. And in as much as you're part of the thing that kept her from getting a job, that was literally the case. She couldn't get a job for a while because people knew who she was. Like, on an individual level, on your own, in your own soul, you don't know her, so it's okay. You say whatever you want, right? I can say anything about anybody. I can say, oh, I think... I don't know. Pick a celebrity. I think I can't think of a celebrity right now. I think Chris Pratt is a douche for going to church. I can say that. I don't think that.
You think he's a douche for going to church?
Yeah, I don't actually think
you,
that.
You learned that he's actually a religious guy, and it kind of took away a little bit of respect.
Well, it wasn't just that he's a religious guy. It was that he goes to a church that has been vocal in its anti-LGBTQ stance.
Oh, God damn yeah. it. See? Yeah.
But okay, I don't really
there
think
there it is
he's...
again, but now I'm gonna watch Guardians of the Galaxy and I'm gonna be like, oh, fucking Chris Pratt.
Well, see, here's
the thing. That this is what I'm afraid of. I'm so happy in ignorance.
Well, that's just it. I mean, you can spin the Harvard, since it's just you, who's making these decisions, you don't have to go off of evidence, and you can use whatever rationalization you want. Here's what I'm gonna go off of. He's too stupid to know better. That's what I'm going to go with. Let him do his jokes and let him do Guardians of the Galaxy and his Jurassic Park movies, because he doesn't know that he does not know that religion is evil, and this church in particular needs to be taken down with a fiery.
He doesn't know that he's yeah. supporting something abhorrent.
Yeah.
Yeah. You sure he doesn't know that?
No, see? I don't know, but that's where I'm going to go, because that is as much truth in my head is everything I've read, because I know that everything I read is going to have a biased slant to it. Now, what's yeah. her name? Ellen Page. She's one of the people who's very vocal against Chris Pratt and all the other people of this church, because she's a lesbian and she knows that this church is against her. And I like her work. So there is,
yeah, me too.
Inside my head, there is this, what do you call it when you have a conflict in your head and you don't know... what's it called? It's a thing.
Well, I mean, there's ambivalence.
Cognitive dissonance.
Cognitive dissonance, yeah.
Dissonance. I like that even better. It's cognitive dissonance. So I got that going on, and I'm rationalizing so I can keep watching these people, but I don't know them. Now, Joe, if it turned out you were anti-LGBTQ, I couldn't just let that go, right? And if you heard that I beat nuns, like I beat them with chains, you couldn't let that go, because we have a personal relationship. But Chris Pratt, I'm never going to meet him. If I do, I'm going to ask him for Anna Faris's phone number. I'm not lying. I'm going to do that. But
maybe did she leave? Because she left him, right? Maybe she left him because of this church thing.
Maybe. I don't know. Or he left her because of the church thing, or...
Well, I want to steer this back to...
Let's go back to winter. Yeah,
might lead to something funny. But first, I just want to say I'm all... Talk about cognitive dissonance and just inner ambivalence.
It's a very winter. It's a winter thing. The winter of your discontent is cognitive dissonance.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
Well, it's so I am torn, because I don't want to just believe, you know, have some intuition, hear a story, and then be like, you know what, I believe that, and so fuck that guy.
Yeah,
I don't want to be that way.
Well,
but
that's
I
confirmation bias, right? Yeah.
So I'm just internally, I'm all mixed up. Yeah. And sometimes I'm just like, I don't even want to think about it. So something went wrong with Liam Neeson. I don't even want to hear about it. Don't tell me.
Right.
And that way I can watch The Gray. And with that, I'll segue. Winter, in honor of winter, I don't know if I've brought this up before, but I really, really like watching shows and movies, and even I don't even know if I've read a wintry book, but maybe I should give it a try. I love the imagery of winter. I don't want to be there. I don't want to be cold and in the snow. But, like, I've watched The Thing probably, like, 20 times. Okay. And it's not just because there's crazy mutants and aliens and it's like, psychologically terrifying. I actually find it comforting, because the whole thing takes place in like this snowy wasteland.
Yeah.
And on some level, that's comforting to me. And for the same reason, The Gray is a great movie to watch, too. There's all these great like landscapes, and they're just trudging through the snow.
Yeah.
And while I'm sitting warm on the couch with my dog, just something about it. I love it. And The Thing, when I say The Thing, I've seen the one that was made, I think, in the late 70s or maybe mid-70s with Kurt Russell. I've seen that one about 20 times, and I've seen the one that was made in like 2011 or something, which is a direct prequel. I've seen both of them.
Is it? Okay.
Many, many times.
I haven't seen
either of them. I do like horror movies, and that's one of the reasons why I like that. But okay. I'm telling you, a big part of it, set a horror movie or any other movie right in the middle of the snow, and I love it. And that includes what's the movie about the train, man? It's a great fucking movie.
The Train.
Snowpiercer.
Oh,
you ever seen that?
No. I don't know if I even
Snowpiercer.
Snowpiercer. Is that a zombie movie?
I highly recommend it. It's like a video game starring Captain America, the dude that plays Captain America.
Okay.
And he starts and this entire train is filled with the last people alive on Earth.
Oh,
so
yeah,
the train just zooms around the snow covered, you know, ice age, and all the poor people are in the back of the train.
Yeah.
And you know, it gets more and more elite until there's the guy running the train who is clearly like a symbol of, you know, the 1% or the 0.001%. And so the whole thing is like Captain America playing a video game, just going from the back of the train to the front of the train, and it kicks ass. But that's not the only reason why I like it. It is in the middle of the snow the whole time.
Yeah.
And that kind of just puts me at peace.
I do like the feeling and the image and the emotion of being snuggled up in a blanket, and there's a fire, and outside it's raging cold, but I'm warm. It's a glowy warm spot. I get that.
Yeah. So, I do appreciate that.
So where you're coming from makes sense to me, but I can't watch a movie or read a book where people are cold without feeling cold. Like, I just now, you know, for the hell of it, I Googled best winter movies, and I'm looking through this list, and they're all making me very unhappy. I don't want to be in any of them. Okay, so like 30 Days of Night. There's a horror film. You've probably seen that one, right?
Oh, goddamn, it's great. There's another one right in the middle of the snow. And guess what? You know, squirting blood in the snow, the contrast.
Well, there you go.
Wonderful.
Yeah. But then you got, like, Fargo. It's sort of a winter movie. Dr. Zhivago.
Wonderful. I love the show. I love the movie.
Let's see. We got The Ice Storm. I mean, sometimes there's movies where winter's just there and it has really nothing to do with the plot. And then there's movies that are like, no, it's a part of the plot, right? Like,
you just made me realize something. Maybe I like snow movies because there's just so many good snow movies as you go through this list.
Yeah.
That like when I hit play on a movie or I sit down to watch one in the theater and there's snow there, I already have an association. Like, ooh, this is probably going to be a good movie. And maybe that's why. Maybe that's why I like snow movies so much, just because good movies tend to be in the snow.
There's got to be bad snow movies, though.
Hey, Krampus. that's a good movie. Sorry. That almost sounded like I was giving an example of a bad snow movie. But come on, think of a bad one. There's got to be a really bad
snow
movie.
There's got to be Cliffhanger.
Okay, now I'm back to there are some movies that I think I just like because they're in the snow, and that's one of them.
Okay, how about
that movie's fun. It's just silly.
I've never seen it. I don't know. How about Cool Running?
I remember that being a damn good movie.
John Candy. I never saw it. The Jamaican bobsled team.
Yeah, that was like an inspiring tale.
Okay. I'm just reading off this list.
I'm not shitting. You think I'm joking?
There's a movie called The Holiday. That I think had, let's see, it had
Never
Cameron Diaz, Jack Black, Kate Winslet. I think that's Kate Winslet, and
it's like a rom com.
Who's that really good looking guy who was the Pope? What's his name? He's British. Oh, man,
he was the Pope.
What yeah, he talking? Played the Pope in the Young Pope. He's in it too.
No, who cares? Man,
I could look it up, but why bother? That was a good cheap show, by the way. The Pope, the young Pope, if you ever see. I think they're doing a sequel, and that makes me very happy because that's the best show, one of the best shows I've ever seen. But moving on with winter, I want to talk about some winter stuff. Actually, okay, Joe, this is what I want to do. I want to bring up a thing that would let me go off on a tangent that's not about winter. Since I hate winter so much, I like going off on tangents.
I actually have something. Okay, do you want to go first? Why don't you take the reins conversation?
Just a little bit.
Okay.
I don't know. Sometimes I feel like I take the reins too often, but I'm a hippophile. And if you understand that joke, you get 10 points. So, what was I going to say? So I was trying to get an image together for today's show. Okay. And in doing so, I thought, well, I'm going to need inspiration. So I put onto YouTube the winter portion of Vivaldi's The Four Seasons, right? The Four Seasons. And are we all familiar with Vivaldi's The Four Seasons?
I mean, can you hum it for me? Or can you just...
I'll just play it on YouTube, right? I mean, that's what I should do. That's how I roll. Vivaldi.
That is how you roll, but it would be fun to just hear you. Sing me a couple of notes. See if I can recognize it.
Okay, not only am I going to play you a bit from YouTube, I'm going to play you a bit from YouTube after this fucking commercial. Sorry.
That's how we do it.
By somebody who's going to come up in a minute. Okay, so let's just. Okay, so Vivaldi, that rang some bells, right?
What, so you can't go...
Nah, probably not. It would come out very poorly. So I Googled that, or I YouTubed that, and it's on in the background, and I'm like fiddling around with Photoshop. And then I go back to the video part of it, and the first chair violinist, the lead violinist, if you will, whatever... is standing up there playing, and she's not what you would call attractive, like in the sense of like she's hot. I mean, she's in her probably, I'm guessing, in her mid 50s, and she's wearing kind of a frumpy dress. But the way she was handling that violin, I just got so turned on. I was like, God, she's awesome. Just the confidence and just the mastery, right? You know, she had it. And I've always been that way. I'm a pervert, Joe. Like, whenever I see a woman who's in absolute control of her media or medium or whatever, I'm just like enthralled. It was like female comedians, for example, when they make me laugh, I'm ready to go to bed with them. And that's, I don't know if that's sexist or makes me a weirdo. I'm a weirdo, whatever, who cares? I remember the first time I saw Rasputina performing, and they're an all cello band. They're punk cello. And so you got this little tiny woman with this gigantic cello between her knees, and she owns it. She's in complete control. And I was just like, oh, I want that. So anyway, I saw this and I thought, well, I'm going to up the ante here. So I Googled hottest female musicians or hottest female violin players, right? And I got this list because they're out there because the internet is full of perverts like me. And so I'm just going through watching these fairly attractive women just playing the violin with such... And my favorite violin concerto of all time is the one by Mendelssohn in E minor. It's amazing. And I was kind of glad that we started late because I was listening to that as you came on to Skype there. And the one I was watching was by a violin player named Julia Fischer. Just now, when I said, hey, let's start with Vivaldi's The Winter, I Googled it, and it was Julia Fischer, and she's playing it right now, and I'm watching it, and I'm turned on. So, what's that got to do with winter? Nothing. It's just that...
Oh, well, I mean, I've been, like, shimmying and jazz-handing and, like, biting my lip. I've had a lot to say this whole time.
All right, go.
Okay, so we have talked about this on the show before when we talked about Rasputina.
Yeah.
I was actually in a band that was called Points of Light. I think we... played like one show, and we were able to play three or four songs together. But there was a very attractive woman. Well, she was attractive anyway, but there's something about a woman playing a cello that just does it for me.
Yeah.
Like it ramps up a woman's attractiveness, especially if she's really good at the cello. It sends it through the roof. So also violins. So there's something about the stringed instruments and bows, like watching a woman take control of that instrument. I'm totally on board with you.
Yeah.
Fucking great.
Yeah.
And
For what it's worth,
what else was I going to say? You brought up a couple of points, and now I can't remember the other ones.
Let me bring up another point.
Okay.
And this is also music and not really winter related, but I'll try to make it winter related and see if it.
Oh, I remember now.
Yeah, okay, go.
Just remind me. Trans-Siberian Orchestra, which is very wintry.
Oh,
very.
Yeah.
You're familiar with that band?
Absolutely, yeah.
All right, so the maybe the ultimate version of this, like of a hot woman playing a violin, there is a member of that group. I don't know if she's still a member. There's a it's a huge rotating cast of crazy good musicians.
Yeah.
And I went to see them live once, and I was like, well, this ought to be kind of fun. We got free tickets or something one year. This is even before I met my wife. It was a long time ago, but I was blown away by that show because suddenly there were super hot dancers, like scantily clad. It was super sexy. And then one of them starts – not only is she super – like supermodel hot, but she started like opera singing along with this.
Oh, yeah.
And then she pulled out a violin and started like singing and then playing the violin. I was like, who is this woman? And actually, I should know her name. That's how impressive this display was. And then they start, you know, they start, they have stages that appear behind you. And I mean, the show was fucking great. And this woman was running, playing the violin, and then singing, and then she would stop and do some crazy dance move. By the end of the show, there was, you know, almost a full orchestra playing and like a hair metal band playing with them, and a fucking UFO took off behind me with dancing, scantily clad opera singing women on the UFO, on the flying saucer, and I almost lost my mind. And this is the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. The whole time they're just playing a bunch of Christmas music.
Was her name Caitlin Moe?
That does ring a bell. I remember I did Wikipedia it after I saw the show, and I was like, these people are phenomenal. And then I even like got an album, and then I listened to a whole album, and I was like, oh, okay, now I'm bored as shit. I'm done. Never listen to him again.
Was it Asha?
You know what you need is you need the opera singing, violin playing, ballet dancing, scantily clad women on a UFO. Then I'm entertained.
Okay. Well, maybe see, it's interesting because you say they were playing a bunch of Christmas music, and I know that they don't play just Christmas music, but essentially they're associated in pop culture with a Christmassy kind of thing, right? Like that little bit I played you from Wizards in Winter. It's got nothing to do with Christmas from a musical standpoint, but it's called Wizards in Winter. And most people that I know of got turned on to the song because there was a viral video of this house that had Christmas lights that were tuned to the song, so the Christmas lights would flash with the song, right? It's worth checking out.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because you put all that together, or I put that all together to talk about Christmas, and I think, I don't know if I hate winter because I hate Christmas, or I hate Christmas because I hate winter, but there's definitely some synergy there, some hate synergy, some hatergy, some hatergy.
Well, it's a talk about ambivalence and cognitive dissonance, because I do hate winter, but then you even explained it, the whole like sitting next to a fire with winter outside. I sit on my warm couch and I watch The Gray, where there's, you know, Liam Neeson punching a wolf in the face in the snow. And I love and hate winter, and I do love and hate Christmas too. We've been over that on the Christmas show. Yeah. I was telling myself that, you know, hey, let's try and talk about winter without talking about Christmas, but it's kind of impossible. I knew that we'd get there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they kind of go together. It's like the only reason to have winter is so that you can, you know, get stuff from people on the day that the Catholics decided to change the birth of Christ too, right? I mean, anyway, I'm going to go off on a tangent there. Let's not do that. There's something else that happened today, speaking of music, and had nothing to do with winter. Do you know that song that goes, na 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 na, na 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 na? I'm terrible at singing, so I apologize right there.
I do know that song.
What's it called?
Well, I can't name the artist nor the title of the song.
Okay.
But you know the song. Na 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 na.
Yeah, I'm going to play.
And then he says something like, everybody get up and dance one time.
Well, you know more than I do, yeah. I'm going to play just a minute of it for you.
1, 2, 3.
Ringing any bells?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Well, let me see you shake your tail feather.
Okay, does he do it early in the song or does he do it later? I don't know. Here we go. Okay, so why did I bring that up? Okay, because that song was in my head, and I didn't know who did it, and I didn't know what it was called. So I googled na 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 song, right? And I got this video that was the 30 best ever na 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 songs with na 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 in it, right? And okay. I was amazed how many there were and how many I recognized. A bunch of them I didn't. This song wasn't on the list, which is a travesty, but a band that covered. Or not covered, but sampled from it was. So I guess that's okay. This is Wilson Pickett, and the name of the song is "Land of a Thousand Dances." And
that's it's right. Just he goes amazing. Through all. He goes through the mashed potato.
Yeah, you know. He doesn't do a thousand dances. He does like six, but you know, he mentions a few.
I just realized, like, hey, Jason, you want to talk about winter? Nah, 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 nah.
There you go. Yeah,
nah, 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 nah.
Exactly. But I watched this video. I watched it all the way through because I want to see what they were doing, and there's just so much going on. Like, okay, most of the songs sucked. And it's funny because I know that I'm too old to react otherwise to modern music. Like, when I hear Chemical Romance and Selena Gomez and some of these other bands that are on there, I am not able to understand how it can be good. I recognize that about myself. Like, it's the whole cognitive dissonance thing all over again. It's like, to me, I'm listening to me going, how can anyone like this? It's so plain and simplistic, like a computer could write it. But I know that it's because I'm an old man and people actually do like it. That's why they make a lot of money, and I have to give them that, right? But then I go back to Wilson Pickett. This song is from 1962, and I'm going, this song is great. Listen to the orchestration.
It's fucking awesome.
Listen to the texture of his voice. They didn't have nearly the technology we have today, and yet he made this awesome little 2 minute and 25 second song. And so I'm watching the video, but there were some songs on there that I liked. And one of them was this song by Pink. You know that singer Pink? And
yeah.
Okay. And it's like she goes na 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 na. I don't know. She's talking about how everyone's going to get into a fight, right? Mm-hmm. And that reminded me, this is me going off on tangents here, right? It's reminding me of something I saw on Twitter today where somebody posted the tweet, Who do you want to have sex with and fight? Not at the same time, but who is somebody you'd want to have a fight with and have sex with? And the person who tweeted this said that she wants to have sex with and fight Alex Trebek, which I thought was really hilarious because I can't imagine anybody doing either of those things with him, and she wants to do both. But then I was trying to think, okay, who would I want to have sex with and fight? I couldn't think of anybody because I don't want to fight people. And then I saw Pink's video and I was like, okay, I don't want to fight Pink because if I somehow got lucky and landed a punch, I would not like it, would not feel good at all. But I would like to be in a situation where Pink was trying to fight me. I mean, I'm not going to fight back.
Well, she does want to start a fight.
She wants to start a fight. Like, if she's like, I'm going to kick your ass, I would like, okay, I'm not just going to fall down on the ground and let you beat me because it will end too soon. So I'm going to fight back in as much as it keeps us fighting. But I don't know if there's a word for that. Like, I mean, she's going to kick my ass. I'm going to get hurt really bad, right? Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to need ice packs, and it's very icy in winter. That's the only way I can link this up at all. But I just wanted to give you that sort of like landscape of how I went from na 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 to wanting Pink to beat me up. I mean, can you, Joe, who do you want to both have sex with and fight besides Liam Neeson?
That's an easy one. That's Michelle Yeoh.
Michelle Yeoh. I don't know who that is. I have to Google Michelle Yeoh.
Well, she's just badass. I mean, I would get my ass kicked. I wouldn't land a punch. That's why I'm so comfortable with the idea of having a fight with her, because I would just get pommeled and fall down. But then I imagine that after I'm hurt, she would care for me, and then we would fall in love and then make sweet love.
Michelle Yeoh
in the snow. And by the way, I think there is a movie where there's a crazy badass kung fu fight scene with Michelle Yeoh in the snow. Okay. And I don't know if you can find that, but I'm sure there's another example. put any sort of tell a story and have it be in the snow, and I will enjoy it.
So maybe, like,
whether it be kung fu or horror or a rom-com, put it in the snow.
Could Hollywood, like look into this and, like, okay, we're going to redo movies, but we're going to redo them in the snow just so Jill will want to watch them. Like, what would be a hilarious reboot, but in the snow? Like, I'm trying to think of a movie. Super Troopers, but instead of, I don't know, I'm just making shit up. Maybe instead of there being, you know, highway patrolmen.
But then Super Troopers, they would just be Mounties.
Yeah, exactly. They're Mounties. Or Jaws.
I was thinking about Goodfellas in the snow.
Okay, yeah.
But as soon as I thought of Goodfellas, I thought of a mobster hanging in a meat locker frozen. And okay. I was like, that's kind of...
That's a nice segue.
It's
because,
kind of wintery.
Yeah. Speaking of mobsters, but not really, but kind of, and winter, I last week said that I have a method for doing a Christopher Walken impression, right? And it involves a pseudo mafia type accent. So let's just segue into that bullshit because Christopher Walken. And no one knows why I think that's related to winter, but it'll come up in a second. I realize I'm talking about shit people don't understand. So. How I discovered this was because I may have mentioned on the show before, my son, who's 3 years old, likes it when I read books to him, right? And it's very good for his brain, so I do it when I can, when I'm not too bored. But like most 3 year olds, and our reader, our listener will be able to appreciate this, he wants to read the same books over and over and over and over again, right? And it gets really boring because These stories are very predictable. They're not well written. They're short, right? They're not going to win Pulitzers. It's just, you know, I'm reading a story about a llama who gets sick and has to stay home with his mama, right? And it's like, the only way I can entertain myself is by reading in different voices, okay?
Okay. Yeah.
So sometimes I'll read in a voice that Kristen Wiig does. You know that woman who is always trying to press people? You know what I'm talking about?
It's a SNL character.
Yeah.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, let me see if I can find some things to read. And then I will... I should have just done this beforehand. So I'll read stuff like I've got to stay in bed because I've got a fever. And if you get up too loud and you can't get out of bed and you have to go down, I'm going to have to give you some medicine. You know, like that, right? So another thing
you're doing
that
to entertain yourself, entertain not myself, necessarily right. Your kid.
But my kid always gets mad. He says, don't do that. But he doesn't seem to get mad when I do Christopher Walken or the nearest, as close as I can get to it, and Snoop Dogg. So
I had a quick question for you. You said that there's a method that can allow one to sound more like Christopher Walken and also more like Snoop Dogg.
Okay, no. So I should have been more clear. I have one for each. I don't have one that does both.
Oh, okay. Because that fucked with my head. Sorry. Ever since you said that, I'm like, there is those two people have nothing in common. What is the – oh, my God. What's the thread there? But there is no thread. You have a Snoop Dogg technique and you have a Walken technique.
So here's the Walken technique. Now, everyone needs to understand that I am – no good at doing impressions, especially because of Walken. So this is just like a technical thing and you need to take it and then improve upon it, right? So basically to do Christopher Walken, I found that the easiest way is to, at the end of a sentence or a phrase, stop a few words beforehand and then start up again, right? So instead of saying, from the Gettysburg Address, now we are engaged in a great civil war. Do this, go, now we are engaged in a great civil war. Right, so that little pause right there, that's very Walken. And I didn't
that
do anything
very
else.
Very Walken, yeah.
It's like, now we're engaged in a great civil war. And I find it helps to shrug a lot when I'm talking like him.
Yeah.
Okay?
You can almost hear the shrug if you do it right.
Yeah, yeah. And then do that at the beginning of a sentence, but you're like, I don't know. Like you say, now we're engaged in a great civil war. And then if you can add on top of that a kind of a New York accent, because he's got that New York accent. I don't know if it's Brooklyn or Bronx or Jersey or whatever. I don't know. Figured out, but it's like, now we're engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation or any nation, and then you just take it from there. That's Christopher Walken, right?
All right, I can work with that.
So he's like, the snow, it's kind of cold, I don't know, maybe we could perambulate. That's a terrible Christopher Walken impression, but that's me doing Walken in a winter wonderland.
walking in a winter wonderland. Yeah.
So anyway, and that's so that's nice. So take that, Joe. Work on it. Work with it. You could obviously do way better than I just did. And the Snoop Dogg one is just you just emphasize certain parts in a rhythmic way, like you say. Oh, geez, now I'm putting it on the spot. I don't know if I can do this performance. Like, 4 score and 7 years ago, a father's bop. No, I'm not doing it right. I need to pause and think about it. You talk for a while, and I'll practice, and then I'll come back.
Well,
and
I'm reading something here. Okay. Maybe I can try and walk in it.
Like, yeah, do a walking thing.
If you step in a fresh steaming turd left in the snow by your neighbor's dog. I don't know, man.
Yeah, that was really good. I like that. No, you got it.
We've got a lot of work to do.
We do got a lot of work to do. I think one of the things about our show is that we don't come prepared and we don't expect anybody to be impressed. It's sort of like, you know, when you're a frat boy about to have sex. It's just like you show up and expect people to want it. And even though they don't, you keep going anyway. So, and then the Snoop Dogg thing is a little bit more like this can it can branch off into any sort of hip hoppy type of guy. So you got to be careful because you say like, now we are engaged in a great civil war testing. No, that's not it. I don't know why I keep fucking this up. I should have practiced before the show.
It's okay. I think it's funny that you can't do these and neither can I. But
now we are engaged.
Talk more about the Snoop Dogg technique.
Well, it's that you just. Now we are engaged in a great civil war. You just do that little emphasis on every so often you go in and you make it rhythmical. And then you kind of got to get into it. And I know it doesn't sound right now, but trust me, that's how it was. The other day I was reading, I don't know what I was reading, something to him. And I was like, I kept saying, yeah. I kept saying,
well, I think if don't you take say your yeah, medicine, now you know throw you're some in trouble. In there, yeah. That helps too, right?
Yeah. And you know. You know how he says in a pocket full of condoms, too? That little pause and then emphasis, condoms, too. 4 score and 7 years condoms ago, too. I followed my fourth on this continent, a new nation conceived in liberty. See, I'm not doing a very good job, but...
Hey, fool.
Yeah.
I've been using my Brizane.
There you go.
Then I found that it hizzards to the zinc about the zings.
You did it. See, you took my idea and you actually made it work, whereas I couldn't make it work. The teacher, the master, the student, Joe is. Yeah.
Here, let me say this to our listener.
Okay.
We're sorry. And we're going to take this. We're just spitballing here. Maybe we're going to try and get better. We've got some techniques to work on. And one day, we're going to show up to this show and Jason's going to do a fucking phenomenal Snoop Dogg. And he's going to talk to me, and I'm going to be Christopher Walken, and we're going to have a whole conversation.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to make you laugh really hard.
Let's do that. Next episode is supposed to be a bareback, so we're going to do walking in dog. Walking the dog.
Walking the dog. Okay, look, listener, give us a year. No, it's 2 years.
Give us 3 years.
And we will do an entire show. Jason is Snoop Dogg, I am Christopher Walken, or vice versa. Actually, we'll both get so fucking good that we'll switch roles. We'll
switch on the fly. And then
we'll
I'm going to
we'll do the whole show, just completely improvised, and just we'll even have a separate topic. But damn it, it'll be walking the dog.
Walking the dog. And then halfway through, I'm going to whip out a violin and start playing, and Joe's going to punch a wolf in the face.
And then a UFO is going to take off and it'll blow your mind.
That's right. So get ready for that. You know what I like about podcasts?
So what minute are we at?
We're at minute 48.
All right. Well, I would like to pay.
Oh, yeah. Let's do that.
Can we do a word from our sponsor real quick?
Yeah, let's do a word from our sponsor real quick.
Snow is a bitch.
Oh, should I not start?
Here, give me my intro again, damn it. This is an ad. I'm going to read the copy live. I got the copy. Here.
Okay.
Snow is a bitch. And ice is a son of a bitch. Anyone who tells you how wonderful and beautiful it is to live in a cold northern climate is failing to mention that it is also a brutal and unrelenting struggle for survival. For instance, during the winter months, you must scrape the ice from your windshield before driving to work in the morning. Such a task is never a problem if you have the Snojo Edge ice scraper with brass blade. Let's say there's some thick, stubborn ice on your windshield on a cold December morning. Just grab your trusty Snojo and head out to your driveway. If you step in a fresh, steaming turd left in the snow by your neighbor's dog, you can use your Snojo to scrape the shit off of your boot. If you are then attacked by rabid squirrels, you can fight them off easily with the brass blade of your Snojo. After scraping turds from your boot and defending yourself from hostile vermin on the way to your car, you might work up an appetite. Use your Snojo Edge ice scraper as a spatula to prepare yourself a grilled cheese sandwich or maybe some pancakes. And after a quick snack, it's back to your driveway, where perhaps you'll be beaten and kidnapped by ski mask-wearing goons who hogtie and gag you with a Larco brand bitch gag model ball gag before throwing you in the back of their van and driving you countless miles through a blizzarding wasteland into the remote wilderness. If this happens, you can use your Snojo Edge to cut through the ropes binding your hands and feet, freeing yourself to stab the driver of the van in the throat. After the vehicle winds off an icy cliff and into the forest below, you can crawl over the blood-soaked bodies of your captors, and then drag yourself with two broken legs from the twisted wreckage before the gas tank explodes in a mushroom cloud of fire. After many days and nights pulling yourself through the snow-covered woods on your belly, you avoid freezing to death by using the transparent handle of your Snojo ice scraper as a magnifying lens to start small fires. Of course, it's only a matter of time before one of your hands becomes frostbitten, at which point you use your Snojo's brass blade to amputate your own arm. You then fashion a tourniquet with torn fabric from your ragged clothing, using your Snojo as a windlass to stop the profuse bleeding out of your hacked and shredded stump. You nearly starve to death after another week in the wild, but decide to eat the flesh of your frozen severed arm in a desperate effort to survive. Once you return to your home, you realize that it is again time to head off to work. After a quick shower and a change of clothes, it's back to your driveway to scrape your windshield. Unfortunately, you've somehow misplaced your Snojo ice scraper during the last days of your horrible ordeal. So you open your glove box and grab your Sub-Zero brand 11-inch avalanche ice scraper, and within minutes, your car is ready for its daily commute. The Snojo Edge ice scraper with brass blade. This product can also be used to scrape ice.
All right, I'm going to buy one. I'm going to buy
the
two.
The Snojo.
Yeah, the Snojo. That was good. That was long. That was a tale. That was a Call of the Wild.
Well, I'm just telling you, the Snojo ice scraper is a useful apparatus.
Yeah. It was epic, your story.
Yeah. Well, it's a story told in the setting of snow. So, you know, something I can get on board with.
It was a song of ice and fire.
I've got a problem with you, man.
What was it?
Do you remember, I don't know how this exchange is going to go, but do you remember ever going snowboarding with me when we were younger?
Yes, I do. I was going to bring that up as well.
You were?
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead and tell the story from your perspective. Oh. I wonder how close my weird memory of this is
to
your perhaps accurate memory.
The only memory I have at all is your brother trying to jump up in the air. That's it. He was going...
That's the whole story? The memory that you have?
Yeah. What do you call it when you're doing a skateboard? It's called Ollie, right? So he would just... And it's not called an Ollie because your feet are attached to the snowboard, but he would just, like, do that jump thing and try to grab the side of the board for the eighth of a second that was actually in the air. I mean, credit to him for trying. I'm not saying that he was doing anything stupid. He was trying, but that's the only thing I remember. I do remember, though, we were all on snowboards. So what's your story? Help me remember because I don't remember a damn thing.
Well, again, I don't know if this is accurate at all. I think maybe I was 12
or sounds right.
13, maybe.
Yeah.
Something like that. And I had gone skiing before And I didn't like it. I ate shit all over the place. And I honestly was really intimidated to go snowboarding. Even, you know, I had never been snowboarding before. Right. I remember before we left, I was making up all sorts of excuses why I didn't want to snowboard. And my memory was, because I really looked up to you, and you were like, I remember you saying something like, look, just call it, I'm just calling it like I see it. You're just being a wimp.
I said that?
In fact, I think you said something like, look, you're scared. Just call a spade, you're being a pussy.
Wow. Like,
and okay. I don't know, how old were you at that point? You must have, I mean, you were full on.
Well, I'm six years older than you, so I must have been. No, okay. I am 100% certain I did not go snowboarding with you when I was 19. I'm dedicated to the proposition. It must have been earlier. Also, it took me until doing this podcast to be comfortable saying the word pussy out loud, much less say it in front of other people. So I'm pretty sure I knew that. Also, I always thought the world of you as well, and it wasn't my nature to call people wimp. Are you sure that this wasn't your brother who called you a wimp?
It could be, because that was more in his wheelhouse to
Look, I'll take full ownership of being an asshole. I'm sure that I said a lot of things that would publicly shame me if they came by.
Oh, but let me get to the point of the story where you totally redeem yourself.
Okay,
I wanted to bring up the part where I have this horrible memory of you calling me a wimp, and it still haunts me to this day. Though I think I might have a twisted memory, and it's probably my brother who liked to call me all sorts of fucked up names.
Sure.
Calling me a wimp would have been just a Tuesday, but. But I really was intimidated to go snowboarding, and then I decided, you know what, I'm gonna prove to Jason, let's just go with the fact that you called me a wimp.
Sure,
for the sake of the story. Okay. We went to this place called Breckenridge. Our listener might be familiar with that.
Yeah.
Now if you pop onto the internet and you look at all the, I'm sure you can see like a map of the, you know, all the different runs at Breckenridge. I decided, and you did this with me, you and I alone did this, I think it was like an all-day run. It was called like the 4:30 or something like that.
Yeah.
Does any of this ring a bell?
No, but I can't remember last week, so.
Well, anyway, so we went up and look, I had never snowboarded before. So this was a really bad idea on my part. My dad was just like, okay, good luck, fellas. Hope you live through it. And so we went to the top of this thing, and it was, in my memory, it was hours and hours because, look, there were parts of this that were, you know, intermediate skiing, like Blue Hills or whatever.
Yeah,
and, like, all I did was eat shit, like, just over and over again. Uh-huh. And, like, you were doing a pretty good job. And the thing is, it took us what seemed like all day. I was just slamming my face into the ice and the snow, like trying not to cry in front of you, you know, like, I'm not a wimp, Jason, you know. And so, and the snow filled my, I had just eaten so much shit that the snow had filled my gloves.
Yeah, I'm remembering now.
Yeah, and you know, I started getting a little bit better, I think, by the end, but I was just, it took everything inside of me not to just start whimpering, you know, like a small child. And you were very supportive. Like, you know, you waited for me, you helped me up when I fell down, and we finally did get to the end of this huge run. And I could not feel my thumbs for days because my hands were just snow packed.
Yeah, we switched gloves. I remember
that's right.
You we switched gloves, and I put yours on. I was like, no fucking way I'm wearing these. And my hands were so cold, they were hot. And I was fascinated by this as we made our way down the hill. My hands were like just radiating heat. Like I could hold it close to my face and feel it. I was like, this is so messed up. I'm going to die. Awesome. I do remember that part. Yeah. So maybe that's why we both hate winter so much, because we almost died at Breckenridge.
Yeah, well, I don't know if it's worth it, or if you're pretty quick on the internet, but like, I'd like to know, what is this? Was it all a myth in my head, or is there some super long run where you go, you know, across the whole fucking mountain and it takes you half a day? I feel like these memories are completely blown out of proportion in my head.
Well, there is,
but I remember looking up to you, and I was like, oh no, Jason thinks I'm a wimp. But then we went on this huge snowboarding trek, and you were very supportive. And I still felt like I had proven to myself that I was a fucking wimp by the end. But I also was like, oh, you know,
no, you're right.
Jason, what a cool guy. He's my cousin. I love him.
No, thank you. And no, I barely remember any of this, but I'm pretty sure I stuck with you because you're Joe. Who's not going to stick with Joe? I did look.
So you're thinking maybe I was like 9 or 10 or something.
Yeah, I had to be around that type of thing. I'm looking it up, and I did Google it, and it says that the longest run at Breckenridge is something called, you were pretty close, the 4 o'clock. And it's 3.5 miles long, whatever that means.
I don't think that's very long.
I
think I probably had a really bad hour and a half, and I thought it was like 3 days.
Probably, yeah. Well, speaking of hour and a half, we're past 1 hour. There's one more thing I think we should play for the audience before we go, so we'll be over time a little bit. But I'm just gonna play it, unless you want to introduce it.
Can I do an argument for cancellation?
Oh, is that what it is?
It is.
Okay.
It's real quick and easy.
That is better.
Welcome, listener, to the winter of JBC's discontent. And an argument for its cancellation. Okay, I can't come up with new shit. Hit it.
In the cold of winter, a cold case is about to be reopened. A dead body is found under strange circumstances, and a serial killer is on the loose. An elite crime unit is called in. And only one man can piece together the clues and rein in pure evil. Detective Harry Hole. That's right. Harry Hole. The lead character in this film is called Harry Hole. This time, Harry Hole is facing a true demon, and at the same time, struggling with demons of his own. Will Harry Hole win a race against time? Can Harry Hole crack the case before all hell breaks loose? Did the writers write down the name Harry Hole and think it was a good idea? There's only one answer, and that's Harry Hole. Universal Pictures presents The Snowman, the story of Harry Hole. Directed by Harry Hole, written by Harry Hole, starring Harry Hole. You might remember Harry Hole from Harry Hole, Harry Hole's Revenge, and Harry Hole 6. This time, it's Harry Hole. In theaters this Friday.
I think you just fucking convinced me.
That was,
wintery.
Wintery. That was 70 episodes ago.
That is better.
When that debuted. So if you've been listening
70 episodes ago.
Yeah, if you've been listening to the show so long that you heard that before, we love you. Yeah.
Well, I know it's a movie that came out well over, I don't know, maybe like a year and a half ago. So, dated. And you know what? It's not as good as I remember it being. There's another argument for us to stop.
The movie or the ad?
Well, apparently the movie was just shit, but the ad was pretty terrible too.
No, the ad was good. Reason why you didn't hear me laughing the whole time is because I had muted myself. I had muted myself. Anyway. Are we going to do this again in a few days?
Yeah, and I think we have earned... We've earned a completely random episode.
It's going to be random, bareback, just bring up whatever. Because, you know, we usually stick on topic like we did tonight.
Yeah, like tonight.
Everything was about winter. Yeah, cool.
We finally did it on the first day of spring.
Yeah. Makes me laugh. All right, I'm going to mute myself and practice my Snoop Dogg impression. And Joe's going to scream at you. And,
stay warm.
That's what I'm talking about. He's using a good style there. I'm doing the rapping. It's like, hey, brother, I'm gonna put this in your face. God, that was awful.
So there was this dog. Snoop Dogg.
Yeah, that's my argument for cancellation. My shitty efforts to...
You know what, Jason? Let's just do a whole show with... terrible impersonations of both of those people.
We should do that. Here's my impression of James Gandolfini. Mafia is a inflation-proof business. See, that was really bad. No, what did he say? It was recession-proof. It's recession-proof.
Sopranos in the snow would have been better.
Yeah, I agree. Adrian got killed in the snow. Spoiler alert. What's his name?
Man, you know what I forgot to bring up?
Oh, what?
I looked up frozen testicles.
Yeah.
And apparently that almost never happens unless a person dies. You have to freeze to death and then your balls will actually freeze. But there are cases of frostbitten thighs and your balls get stuck to your thighs and then there is torsion and damage.
Do you remember how...
damage done by torsion to testicles.
Do you remember how to testicles. You said that... you hear that somebody you like is in some sort of hot water and you're like, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. That's how I feel about the testicle facts you're giving me right now. I just don't want it. I don't want it. I want to know.
And you actually, I don't know if you remember this, but a couple shows ago, or maybe last show, you said, Mom, this is actually what you said. Mom, there is some torsion on my testicles right now. And I actually said, I have more about that on the winter show.
Okay.
I made it real.
You did. You made it real. Testicle torsion.
Frozen thighs and torsioned testicles.
Will you write a song about testicle torsion and frozen testicles and have Ryan sing it? Can you do that? Ugh.
Yes.
Ugh.
Winter is coming.
Edgar Winter?